Okay, listeners, welcome to Incendiary Radio. It's Robert coming to you straight from St. Louis, Missouri. Crime Central, Lunacy Central. It is the sixth day of September 2015. I'd like to welcome everybody in the chat rooms, including all the Hasbara Incendiary Chat, .chatango.com, Incendiary Radio, .chatango.com. You can flip back and forth in the two chat rooms. You know, so much weird, goofy, just off the chart stuff going on out here. You know, this week I got a Tex Mars's recent newsletter, and it mentioned a book in the newsletter called America Shattered, and which is now out of print, and which I own. You know, I've been following Tex Mars since the internet went up. I've been following Jeff Rentz since the internet went up. I've been following, you know, various people that as soon as the internet came online, I started following them. And so, you know, one thing about Tex Mars, whether you're a Christian or not, you know, Tex is a guy that I would consider him a real trailblazer as far as research goes into this this evil that the planet is up against. And, you know, I've been on his mailing list for a couple decades. And I started, you know, finding out about his stuff. And he's really the person that deprogrammed me out of a lot of the televangelist goofy stuff. And so I'm going to cover some of the stuff in that book called America Shattered tonight. It was written in 1991, folks. And basically, it reads like a prophecy. He talks about this war on basically straight Christians. This is 24 years ago he wrote this book, folks, and he already saw it. And so I'm going to get into some of that later. For some of the listeners that have been following the show for a while, you'll remember that I did a couple shows where one of them was mainly because I basically named it They Took the Deal. And I basically kind of framed it in the terms of when the devil, in the Bible, when the devil took Jesus up to this high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and he said, all these things will be given unto you if you just fall down and worship me. And of course, those people that are biblically literate, you know, what fascinates me is a lot of people claim to be biblically literate, but they're not. They trash the Bible. They talk smack about it all day long, all the time, but they don't know anything about it. And this is what really fascinates the hell out of me about people that, you know, in all these various sectors that thrash the Bible, and then they don't even know the Bible themselves. But anyway, so Jesus rejected the deal, and he basically said, thou shalt worship, you know, the Lord thy God and him only. And he's like, get thee behind me, Satan, and all those things that we know about that Jesus said to Satan in the New Testament. And basically, I did the show called They Took the Deal, meaning basically Judaism as a collective, right about that same time, they took the deal. They took the devil's deal. And then they became basically, I've been seeing this around a lot lately, and it's good that they basically became the chosen, but not of God the Father, but of the devil himself. And so I did this this show, and this was months back, but then I stumbled on this Bobby Fischer. And we know this guy was a Jewish guy, but he was one of those Jews that refused to stay on the plantation, and he was willing to really just tell it like it is. And so you're going to get a treat out of this one. And this really, it's like, I freaked out. This was on Daily Stormer, and Andrew Anglin posted it over there about, and it's just like, wow, I did this show months ago, and I was totally unaware of this Bobby Fischer video out there on YouTube. But basically, he says the exact same thing, and I was like, wow, I mean, I know this guy's dead now, but I mean, we went to that same territory where we kind of figured out this truth, this underlying truth of kind of like the reality of what happened to these people. And so, Mr. Producer, if you could play clip one.
Did I tell that to you or Sam? Who was I saying that to? I think I was explaining to Sammy, you know? That's right, I was talking to Sammy. The Jew, see, I equate the Jew and the devil together. To me, they're practically interchangeable. And I think the Catholic Church did also. I think the entire concept of the devil is based on the Jews. For example, in the New Testament, the devil took Jesus to a high mountain, right? And he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, I will give you all of this if you will just bow down and worship before me, right? So, and then Jesus refused. So the point is, this is, who can offer you all of this? This is basically saying you can have all the money in the world, right? Do what you want. If you just do what I, bow down and worship, do what I tell you. This is symbolic of the Jew. Just obey me and you will have everything. See? That's why, like the Schwarzenegger, he has bowed down before the Jews and they have given him everything. Of course, it's had some negative side effects. He's already had heart surgery and so on as a result of probably taking steroids and overdoing it with his weightlifting and so on. And also as a result of buying into the whole system that this surgery would help him. This is he got brainwashed, you know? So the devil is based on the Jew. And if you look at the old pictures of the devil, he even looks like a Jew.
All right, Mr. Producer, thanks. And so, when I watched that today, I was like, wow. I was scaling that same kind of intellectual mountain, that same territory that Bobby Fischer, and I swear, I was totally oblivious to that video. I came upon that kind of, that eureka moment myself a while back. I was like, wow. Basically, organized Judaism took that deal, and they said, give us the kingdoms of the world, and we will become the chosen of evil. And basically, if you get into the protocols, like Protocol 3 especially, where it talks about the Jewish people collectively as the symbolic snake, and, you know, that's what's really crazy, and I'm going to get into that right here. I've got another. Here you go. Okay. Today I may tell you that our goal is now only a few steps off. This is Protocol 3. There remains a small space to cross, and the whole long path we have trodden is ready now to close its cycle of the symbolic snake, by which we symbolize our people. When this ring closes, all the states of Europe will be locked in its coil as in a powerful vice. What do you think that? Let me calm down. Listeners, look at Europe, this refugee, quote-unquote, crisis. This is completely orchestrated by the symbolic snake, the Barbara Spectres of the world. This has been all plotted out. This has been prophesied by these people always from Sunday. And people are falling into the trap, and they're falling into various, let's just say, tributaries, and they're not keeping their eye on the prize. So I just wanted to throw that out there, because I think that was powerful. Now let me jump into this real quick, and This was by an article by Brandon Martinez. Now, this kid, he's a young Canadian kid. I read his stuff. He's on nonalignedmedia.com, nonalignedmedia.com. He writes, Press TV posts his stuff, Veterans News Now posts his stuff. That's how I came across Brandon, was through Veterans News Now, which is kind of like a sister site to Veterans Today. And it's a whole nother slew of authors on that site, which I really, really, you know, if you're not paying attention to both those sites, and I know Gordon Duff has a bad reputation, and he's already talked about some of his stuff is disinformation, et cetera, et cetera. But that doesn't mean that all the authors on the site, all the columnists on the site are that way. And, you know, and so keep your mind open, because VT and VNN, both of these people really keep up on the Middle East better than probably 90% of anyone else out here. So this article that I'm going to go scan through real quick is basically, this is Brandon's thoughts about the Alex Jones versus David Duke. And I thought it was good because it's really fair, because he doesn't really take one side or the other, but he leans towards Duke's as far as vision. But just check it out. So here it is from Brandon Martinez. For years, Alex Jones has been criticized as a kosher spin artist who jumps through hoops to avoid talking about Zionism and Jewish power. He and his alt-media outfit, InfoWars, has, since its inception, served to misdirect the sheeple into a myriad of dead ends. Jones' modus operandi has always been to evoke elusive and shadowy phantoms to throw people off the trail of the Zionists, a.k.a. Jewish Mafia. I like to use the word Jewish Mafia. Other people like to use the word Zionists. It's the same thing. Finally, to his credit, Jones went out on a limb and had David Duke, a veritable expert on the Jewish question, on his show. They went at it for more than 2 hours. This show was more of an extended David Duke monologue than a real debate. Hold on a sec. Let me turn that mic down. Throughout the interview/debate, Jones said basically nothing to counter Duke on any point and just kept repeating the platitude that Jews are a diverse people who are not monolithic. And that's true. We're seeing some of that with this Iran deal. And so I'm going to get into the Iran deal because I smell something fishy with this Iran deal. And you know, you guys know that, listen to the program, I've been saying this. Everybody wants to, you know, scream peace, peace, and then sudden destruction comes upon them. And I'm not saying it's coming from the Iranians. I'm saying it could come from the Israelis. And we're going to talk about Chicago and some other things. Hopefully I can get to it in the show. And just be patient on the phone lines, folks. I don't want to take calls for a minute. I want to get through some of this stuff that I've got stacked up here. Okay, so back to the article. Even that claim is false. Jews may differ with each other on inconsequential issues that have no real effect on the group's overall well-being and status in society, and they do from time to time engage in infighting among their own. But when push comes to shove, all but a tiny handful of principled Jews, a.k.a. Galat Atzmon, Benjamin Friedman, Shlomo Sands, Roy Tove, Israel Shahak, Israel Shamir, Jack Bernstein, we all know who, Norman Finkelstein, a bunch of these guys that come off the plantation. I think some of their stuff's the best reading out here because they really get you into the mind of, you know, the collective. Okay, so let's see here. Most of them call themselves ex-Jews, side with their tribe and its corrupt leadership against the collective enemy who the rabbis have taught them to fear and hate, the Goyim. Even among the Jewish leadership, there is a disagreement. Oh, by the way, about the Goyim. Yeah, some yeshiva, some little kid's school in England just got busted, basically teaching the kids that the Goyim are all evil and they're out to get them, blah, blah, blah. That was in a bunch of reports that I read throughout the week. It's like they're brainwashing these kids to automatically think that the entire world's out to kill them and the rest of it. It's like, no, I'm not out to kill any other person on the planet. All I want to do is have a playing field to where, you know, there's not this sector of this small sector of humanity that considers itself to the only humans, and the rest of us all out here are animals. I mean, that's just incompatible with life on a physical plane like this. Just to actually have people out here that say, yeah, we're the only humans, and the rest of these people, that they've got eyes, ears, hands. You know, they're designed just like us, but they're not humans because they're not part of our little clique. And so that's, we just have to fight the Talmudic ideology on every front, because it's poisoning every front. And you know, let's move on. Anyway, even among the Jewish leadership, there is disagreement, but only on the methods and strategies used to subjugate the Goyim, not on the ultimate end goal of global Jewish hegemony, as prophesied in Jewish religious texts. It's very important. The ultimate end goal of global Jewish hegemony, as prophesied in Jewish religious texts. You know what fascinates me? These people that say it's all the Vatican, and it's all the Jesuits, and it's all the Catholic world. They're the types that want to completely disregard all of the texts and all of the quotes and all of the research that all of us have done about basically deconstructing the fact that there is this ultimate end goal of global Jewish hegemony as prophesied in their religious texts. Okay? It's just the way it is. The early Catholic Church was really the buttress, the line in the sands, where basically they kept this thing at power. Now the Catholic Church, I agree, it has been completely gutted, corrupted. It has become basically nothing more than window dressing. It's become basically the great whore spoken of in the Book of Revelation, and I agree with that. And so, as somebody that's really, you know, trying to find that real one point where Catholicism really just went off the rails, it's hard to really pinpoint it. But it goes back a long, long way. It goes way back before Vatican II. It goes way back before Trent. And so there's a lot of things out there, and then we'll take calls on that later on. But so let's see here. Now, while Duke clearly has a superior position to that of Jones, that is not to say that he doesn't have shortcomings of his own. And I got an email from a listener, by the way, I'm going to try to read on air. And this is just going to be like kind of a case study of some of the emails I get from listeners that basically just trash me, trash the Bible, trash my belief system, everything else. And look, you know, like they're trying to tell me what to say on the air. They're trying to tell me that I'm a knuckle dragger because I believe that Jesus is the Christ. And so I'm going to try to get to one of these emails when I can. But this is fascinating stuff. Okay, so critics could argue that Duke is engaged in one-track thinking, where he searches out the Jewish factor in every issue while downplaying and neglecting all other dynamics. And I'll stop there. I hear the music. I'll see you guys on the other side. Remember, folks, throw RBN a few bucks if you can. Pay the board operators down there. Keep the network on the air. We'll see you guys on the other side. Okay, folks, we're back. Incendiary Radio. Hope you like it, folks. You know, I monitor a lot of talk radio, and I'm getting to the point where I can't even listen to some of it anymore. It's that bad. It's like people are just, they just want to take articles, they want to read them, and they don't want to think. And it's just like, it gets me so angry, because it's just like there's no mental acuity involved. There's no contemplation involved. People just take these are the articles making news that whoa, and that's all they do. They don't really want to think, and they don't want to analyze. So back to Duke Jones. His characterization of all non-Jews, and he's talking about Duke here, of all non-Jews involved in globalist institutions like the Federal Reserve, the CFR, the Bilderberg Group, and I would add the Trilateral Commission, etc., as well as in government and media power positions as mere screens or front men for Jews, is somewhat simplistic and errs on the side of being a reversed apologist for Gentile criminals. And I would really like to break that down for a second, because this is true. These people, these plotters, these schemers, they would not be able to make the inroads into our societies without the henchmen, without these punks that are willing to sell their posterity, without them willing to sell out their mother, their children's futures and everything else down the river for a few shekels. And so, you know, yeah, this Jewish conspiracy is real. It's real as I've ever seen a conspiracy. And the penetration into Rome, and then and now Rome being just a vehicle for the New World Order, is real as well. Okay? This Pope, this anti-Pope, this guy, Bergoglio, is one sick individual. Okay? I don't see how you could be that close, that old, and that close to meeting your maker to do the evil that you do, because you know what's fascinating, that it's really that Jesuit brainwashing, these people and that Jesuit order. And you know, I just finished a book called The Black Pope by a former nun, and this is in the 19th century, M.F. Cusack. And if you haven't read that book, there's a bunch of them out there to really cover it. I've got Malachi Martin's book, The Jesuits, as well, that I haven't gotten through it yet. But that Black Pope book by M.F. Cusack, she was a sister in a convent, and the stuff in that book will blow your mind. But the thing is, that's the thing. If you say everybody's just a front for the Jewish power and everything else, and they're just all just Shabbos goy, it's like you're almost giving them a free pass by saying, they're just tools of the Jewish power, when it's like, hey, that tool, the evil that he's doing is just as evil as the conspirators themselves, because see, they're the conduit for the conspiracy to gain foothold. And so we got to keep that in mind as well. And I've probably been guilty of this, to where I just want to let off, you know, these guys like Mitch McConnell and John Boehner and Nancy Pelosi and all the Congress conspirators that are under this power, for, you know, just being useful idiots of the real conspiracy. But no, they're just as evil. And so let's continue. Obviously, not all wars and conflicts on earth have been started by Jews. Obviously, not all corruption and evil in the world emanates from Jews. However, as Duke successfully argues on the show, Jewish supremacists are disproportionately powerful and have been the leading element behind a significant amount of corruption, wrongdoing, and malfeasance, particularly over the past few centuries. And that should be open for discussion. At the end of the interview, Duke is challenged by one of Jones's Jewish staff members, Rob Jacobson. Jacobson's retort to Duke's naming and shaming of powerful Jews was to highlight the founding members of the U.S. Federal Reserve Bank, a key globalist institution. One of the six founders, Aldrich, Andrew, Vanderlip, Norton, Warburg, Strong, only one, Paul Warburg, was Jewish. The rest are of Anglo stock. This is a fair point. Clearly, not every nefarious deed in history has been the sole calculation of Jews, but there's really to say that a lot of those guys were just bought politicians. And so you can get into that dynamic as well, and I realize that. We'll pick this up on the other side, folks. IncendiaryRadio@gmail.com if you want to reach me. IncendiaryRadio.chatango.com, IncendiaryChat.chatango.com, the two chat rooms. Now let's get into the meat of this article. And this is, this, you know, when I read this article, that's why I was like, I gotta get into some of this on the air, because see, this is really the crux of the matter. Now check this out. Duke's position is that Jews sit atop the global financial and political power structure, and that the influential Gentiles involved are traitorous puppets. This is true to some extent, but Duke downplays the historic alliance between Jews and the Anglo-Saxons of England. You know, Eric John Phelps saying that Oliver Cromwell's the greatest man in the last 500 years, etc., etc. This is what we're talking about here. Jewish banking dynasties and individual financiers made England their home base, and over the centuries began intermarrying with the British Gentile aristocracy. This is documented quite well in the book War Wolves of the Iron Cross, Albion and Zion United, edited and published by Veronica Clark. Prevailing English supremacist attitudes of the era were, in a sense, steered by Jewish supremacist financiers like Rothschild and Montefiore to secure resources and markets around the globe under the mandate of the British Empire. The Rothschild-Sassoon-inspired opium wars and the Rothschild-Oppenheimer-De Beers-driven South African gambit are two major examples of this phenomenon. So let's break this down for a second. And the present Prince William, Kate Middleton, a.k.a. Goldsmith, marriage is a perfect example of this, folks. You've got Prince William married to Kate Middleton, whose mother is a goldsmith. Look at Kate's brother, Gary Goldsmith, this playboy down there hanging out in Ibiza and everywhere else, getting girls drugged up on ecstasy and all this other weird crap. So, see, the British and the Jewish supremacists, they're all intermarried now. And so we have to realize this. And Jones talks about the Saxe-Coburg-Gotha dynasty in England, how they're really German, Transylvanian, you know, all that stuff. And that's true as well, and to some extent. But they're all married in with the tops of organized Jewry. And so let's continue. This Anglo-Jewish alliance seems to form the basis of today's current Anglo-American-Israel nexus of power. It is the Anglo-derived countries, Britain, USA, Canada, New Zealand, Australia, South Africa under apartheid, and then formerly Rhodesia/Zimbabwe, that have been and are today's the staunchest collaborators with and proponents and facilitators of Zionism and Jewish power in the world. Some of this cooperation stems from the legacy of Christian Zionism and British Israelite ideology. And you know, Bill Cooper did some shows on British Israelism and how it really came, where its origins came from. And I know that there's a lot of British Israelite folks and Christian identity folks that listen to the program, but we have to realize here, some of those people at the top of the British Israelite Christian identity, let's just say sector, are actually collaborators with the Jewish supremacists. And so we can't, you know, not take that into consideration. Like the Jewish supremacists, Anglo supremacists like Cecil Rhodes believed that the Albionist people were chosen by God to inherit the earth. Writing in his last will and testament, Rhodes said of the English race, "I contend that we, the English, are the finest race in the world, and that the more of the world we inhabit, the better it is for the human race. Just fancy those parts that are at present inhabited by the most despicable specimens of human beings. What an alteration there would be if they were brought under Anglo-Saxon influence. Why should we not form a secret society with but one object? The furtherance of the British Empire and the bringing of the whole uncivilized world under British rule for the recovery of the United States, for the making of the Anglo-Saxon race, but one empire." And, you know, look, my father is of these people. and I understand, you know, some of this, but you know, when you say that you're the finest race in the world, et cetera, and then you're married all into the highest levels with the Talmudist, Kabbalist weirdos, I just have to say, hey, wait a minute. You're becoming the next gang of supremacists, you know, and you're hybridized with the Talmudists and the Kabbalists, and you know, the rabbis, the money changers, the scribes. And so, you know, we've got to say something here and say, hey, wait a minute. You know, and that's why I kind of like where Duke and then Angelo Gage and some of these guys is like, oh, hey, wait a minute. I'm coming at this from an anti-supremacist angle, because I can't sit here and whine about one gang of supremacists if I'm going to install myself in as just the next gang of supremacists. Because, see, that's karmically, or as far as reaping and sowing, whatever principle you want to say, you're going to lose. And so, and I get that there's differences among people and the rest of it, but you know, the thing I don't like is this: the forced migration of peoples around this world right now. And it looks and let me give you the other side of the house. It looks like to me that the places where these people inhabit, basically European people inhabit, are the ones that are under complete assault right now through demographic shifts of human beings. And so what I look at it is like, yeah, the Jewish supremacists have married into the Anglo-Saxon you know, hierarchy and the aristocracy and so forth. But see, they're just going to stab them in the back. Look at Britain now. Britain's becoming a third world hellhole. And so how'd that do for you, Anglo-Saxon, you know, elites? How'd that do for you to marry in with all those Jewish thugs? They're destroying your country. And you think because you're married in and you got some shekels that somehow this is all going to come out good for your people. Well, see, you basically sold them down the road. You sold them down the river for some temporary, you know, pleasures. Your entire people, your entire race is now being basically plundered through immigration. The same thing with America. It's happening to Canada. It's happening to Australia and all over Europe. And so you screwed up. So let's go back to the article. These twin supremacist ideologies, Anglo and Judaic, form the crux of what Duke calls the Zio matrix of power. Alex Jones's impetus is to ignore the prominent, perhaps dominant role that Jews play in that equation and only focus on the Anglo-Gentile element. Yes, that's Jones's big shortcoming. He always wants to go after the British royal family. He's like a LaRouche minion. He always wants to go after them, but he never wants to go after the Jewish element that is married completely into this very Anglo-Gentile aristocracy over there. So now it's really just a hybrid bunch over there. He descends further into la-la land by promulgating phony Nazi conspiracies at every turn. He assuredly does this deliberately. So in a sense, Duke is right that Jews are largely administrators on the global power hierarchy, but he is wrong not to include the Anglos as willing collaborators in this quest for global Anglo-Jewish hegemony. And I would say, I would toss the Vatican in here as well, because the Vatican are also willing collaborators in the quest for global Jewish hegemony. The Jesuit order, in my opinion, and I know Dave from Nevada's, he's called me last week and he said that the Jesuits were false flagged somehow, and they're not an insidious force in the world, and et cetera, et cetera. Well, through my research, I view the Jesuits as basically a crypto-Jewish militant faction that was inserted into the Vatican by some Marranos to basically destroy it from the inside and to take it over and to use it as a vehicle for basically the furtherance of Jewish hegemony. It can be argued that since the fall of the British Empire, the prevailing Jewish Zionist element has thrown their Anglo henchmen under the bus in pursuit of other agendas. but that does not negate the prominent Anglo contribution to many of these nefarious globalist and imperialist schemes, including establishing the Federal Reserve Bank in 1913, which appears to have been a joint Anglo-Jewish venture. Well, yeah, if they're all married up at the top levels into each other's families, you know, the Montefiores, the Rothschilds, the British royals, and all the rest of the aristocrats, they're all big one big blob. But you can bet for sure that the pure Jews are the ones that are really still orchestrating things. I would say probably, you know, the House of Rothschild and some of the rabbis, you know, some of the hardcore, utter upper crust of the Levites, the, you know, and so forth and so on. Another criticism leveled against those who promote the strictly Jewish conspiracy is that they sometimes engage in sloppy research and unempirical argumentation. For instance, they will label anyone in a position of influence with a remotely Jewish-sounding name a Jew without any real research or documentation to back it. This methodology is flawed because Jewish-sounding names that end in Stein, Rosen, Berg, etc. are of German origin, for example. And so it goes on. But I wanted to just get that article out there because I even get callers that call into my show and like, do you know so-and-so's a Jew? This person's a Jew. It's like everybody's a Jew. When you know, some people just don't do their homework and they don't do the research and they just throw this out there, you know, that everybody's Jewish. And so this can leave people down a certain road. So I'm done with that article. Let's get into this real quick, and there's about, what, 5 minutes before the break. Now, this is a couple emails I got from a listener. I'm not going to say his name, but this is the kind of crap that I deal with from emails sometimes. And, he sent me a couple emails, and I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to answer some of this on the air. I've been listening to you off and on since you came on RBN. I certainly appreciate very much of what you say regarding the genocide of the light-skinned Caucasian, Aryan, Nordic race by the megalomaniacal Jewish supremacists. Well, you see, that's the thing. I'm not even light-skinned. I wouldn't even be considered Aryan or Nordic. I mean, my mom's Italian. I mean, I'm relatively dark with black hair and brown eyes, and so, but I'm still a European. I'm still identify as a European. Look what's happening to my mom's home country of Italy. It's being just capsized under this refugee crisis. But there's these people out here that they want to be like, those Italians are just kind of, they're not real true Europeans anyway. Look at their dark, you know, complexion. They got something else in them anyway, so they don't just, they're not real white people, you know, and this stuff is just so ridiculous that it's like, you know, it's just hard to even address that stuff because it just gets me angry. However, you show yourself as believing in fairy tales when you embrace the myths and superstitions of the Bible. And he says this, such as the 5,000-year creation story. I've never said that. Where did he get the word 5,000? I've never said that on the air. Noah bringing two of every species of plant and animal on board a boat that he builds himself and repopulates nature after being the original is drowned in a global flood. Yeah, right, LOL. Well, what about all the other cultures that talk about a flood? The Sumerians, Akkadians, people from Central and South America. The flood is not just something that's in the Bible. It's all over. And so, you know, I guess you're unresearched on that point. But anyway, all this, that is just as silly as the Jews embracing the biblical fairy tale fantasy of their possessing the DNA of God and being therefore God's chosen people on earth. And even all the universe, while other humans are mere animals created only to serve them. Well, you know, I reject that premise that somehow there's something special in Jewish DNA that sets them apart from the rest of the human species. And so, you know, he's throwing that in there as a jab against me, but I reject that aspect. That's Talmudic. Anyway, let's get back to it. You both get those distorted beliefs and notions from your quote-unquote holy Bible, which isn't holy at all. It's only a partial and very distorted record of the first small steps in human evolution, of his early attempts to find God and know him, as well as a partial and very distorted record of God's first attempts to find and connect with we humans, i.e. Melchizedek, Adam and Eve, Jesus, Gabriel, the prophets, blah, blah, blah. To interpret this very distorted record as God's ultimate and final word, to hang on every word as if it were actually written by God, only makes you out to be a fool to the rest of us. And you lose much needed credibility in all our critical struggle for the survival of our modern advanced white gene pool that gives us our science, technology, art, architecture, medicine. My conscious awareness that gives me the ability to question myth and superstition that primitive humans get trapped in, and all that drives the expression of higher values and expressions of humanity that higher expressive genes make us capable of achieving. Well, you know what? In my job, I see total exceptions to that rule every single day. I see retard whites, okay? And I see very brilliant blacks, and I see very smart Hispanics, and I see stupid Hispanics, and I see beast level blacks. That's not something that is just in the DNA. Go on Veterans Today and read Jonas Alexis and tell me that somehow some white drug addict laying in the gutter is smarter than that guy over in North Korea. Read some of his articles. I think that's completely ridiculous. I think, you know, intellect and these things are acquired by hard work and basically sometimes they're a gift from the supernatural. But to say that just because you're white that you're smart, that I don't get that. That is ridiculous, because I see white people that are just retard level every day, and I see some black people that are much smarter than they are. And so and I get that there's generalities, and I get that there's curves and there's other things, but you know, to me that's foolish. Back to the email, the fantasy of God demanding a sacrifice to earn his love is just as far out as Adam being the first human formed from dust by God, who then breathed the breath of life and made the first man. We'll see you guys in the next time. This email. It's time to get real, Robert. If you are to reach modern day intelligent thinking people in mass out here in the real world, you realize the Jewish supremacist uses your superstitious and ridiculous myths to ridicule, marginalize, demean, and turn us all white European descendants into laughing stocks, justifying extermination as backward, ignorant knuckle draggers. And he throws Mark Dankoff under the bus here, who, you know, I've had on a couple times in the last 2-3 weeks. Mark Dankoff needs to wake up as well and admit that any personal loving spirit, Father God, of all this glorious creation of nature and the cosmic creation of unimaginable forces, galaxies, stars, and planets that is true, beautiful, and good, and motivated by pure, absolute, unconditional love, would never be so crude, hard, heartless, cruel, and bloodthirsty as to demand a blood sacrifice before his love would be forthcoming. Some so-called and very Judaic Lamb of God, his own perfect son, much less an actual helpless little baby goat, dove, or calf, or even a human child, as many other ignorant cultural beliefs have believed their concept of God demanded in the past. And so, you know, the cross is foolishness to those that perish. I would just like to say to that to you. I can't explain to you exactly, you know, the Apostle Paul does it, but basically it's like this. You know, when you transgress and all of us have transgressed, and we all know it deep down in that recesses of our spirit that we've done evil in this world. And I didn't set up the system that requires a payment, okay? It's not my system. I'm just a human mortal man here. Now, if you want to throw the narrative under the bus, you do that. That's at your own, you know, that's at your own peril, that's at your own discretion. You know, the window is closing for this reality that we're living in. And if you choose to spit on the narrative, then that's your business, okay? But for you to send me emails trashing me for my beliefs, you know, I think that's ridiculous. I would never send an email to a Muslim saying, Muhammad was a false prophet, blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm not going to do that. Now, if I'm talking to a Muslim person, that's one thing, you know. But I'll say, well, why I believe what I believe. But it's like to send me this email throwing me under the bus like that, and just throw the entire Bible under the bus. There's a lot of people, researchers out here, that let's just say they probably know a lot more than you do, that sent me this email about this stuff. See, a lot of people feed their own confirmation biases, and I read a lot of stuff. I even read a guy that says that basically the whole biblical story played out in Yemen, and it didn't happen in Palestine. And so I read everything. We'll cover some of this on the other side. Incendiary Radio. IncendiaryRadio@gmail.com. Now, this is another email from the same individual, and I don't want to hang on this too much longer. I got a couple other video clips to play, and I'm going to open the phone lines up pretty soon. But don't call in yet. Now, check this out. Now you heard this guy. He emailed me thrashing the Bible, saying that basically I'm an intellectual knuckle dragger. When I get into a lot of Bible prophecy and eschatology research, and there's a lot of stuff out there, the structure of the Bible. If you get into sciences like the ELS codes, the equidistant letter sequencing codes that are in the Old Testament, it'll freak you out. And basically, you know, let's go to Isaiah 53, where it talks about the suffering servant. Well, if you get into some of these researchers who use computers, but these guys back in the day used to do it by counting the stuff out. But I mean, they would go to these equidistant letter sequencing. Just type in ELS codes into your YouTube or your browser and start doing some digging. There's some fascinating research in there of these ELS codes, and you really can't see these codes in any other basically printed work at the level they are in the Bible. And basically, in Isaiah 53 alone, where it talks about the suffering servant, basically the names of all the disciples, Christ's mother, Jesus, all the events around his crucifixion are encoded in that one chapter. And so there's a supernatural aspect to the Bible that most people who don't, you know, who have already rejected it, like this guy, or others who just read the surface, they don't do any digging into the scientific aspects here. And some of the people that are covering up some of these discoveries, because some of them have been made by Jews, like over in Israel, and a lot of this gets really, really suppressed and covered up and downplayed, because it basically, it lifts up the narrative of Jesus Christ of Nazareth being the Messiah. And so everybody, do your own digging into equidistant letter sequencing and ELS codes, they call it. It'll freak you out. And then, but if, even if you get into the New Testament, the minute detail that this New Testament gets into with what's happening on the earth and this final world government coming together. I mean, to deny it, I think I just think that you've intentionally put some blinders on, because you just, there's something about the Bible that that you hate. And I don't know what that is inside of you. You know, I can't address that. You've got to take that and take it into consideration yourself. Look at Fukushima right now. And I'm going to try to get into the latest Dennis Cimino article, C-I-M as in Mary, I-N-O, Cimino, Fukushima, the end of mankind, question mark. I mean, this is apocalyptic, and it really ties in with this term wormwood that's in the Book of Revelation. And if you get into the word Chernobyl, and the, I think it's the Ukrainian, but it might be the Russian, translates into this word wormwood, which is found in the New Testament, which talks about making the waters bitter. Yeah, bitter with radiation. And so, I mean, there's a lot out there with biblical eschatology and biblical apologetics. And like Dr. Kent Hovind, who just got out of federal prison, I mean, this guy will go up against anybody in the country that wants to debate creation versus evolution and the authenticity of the biblical creation story. And so just everybody get into Kent Hovind, because I don't agree with him on everything, but that guy is a brilliant guy. And so, but let me get back to the second email here. And this is a completely different one from the first one. As I said before, my opinion on the false flag incidents happening lately, i.e. Sandy Hook, Charleston, even some of the so-called police shootings, and I would throw in the latest one in Virginia. Folks, the Virginia Reporter narrative, this shooting, this Allison Parker, I think that was the name, and maybe it wasn't. I can't remember right now. But anyway, the narrative is totally completely fell apart. If anybody's even paying attention to this Virginia Reporter shooting, it's absolutely pathetic. It's disgusting. Back to the email. They are surely orchestrated and even staged in Hollywood or New York studios, and is common knowledge to those of us who are listening to RBN, Rents, or other alternative sources. Dwelling on those false flag events and spending so much time deconstructing them over and over only distracts from the perpetrators, Jewish supremacists. Well, I don't just deconstruct them over and over. When they happen, I deconstruct them. I spend a few days on it. I look at it. Do you hear me still talking about Charleston? Do you hear me talking about Sandy Hook, Boston, Gerald Lee Loeffner down there in Arizona, the Gabby Giffords Judge Roll shooting? All these false flags, I don't spend time on them. But when they happen, I will do like a portion of a show basically saying, hey, look, these are bogus. In my opinion, daily and constant focus should be on the Jewish megalomaniac problem from whom the false flags emanate. And supporting fellow spokespersons who do the same, rather than to condemn them for not dwelling on the symptoms, as you seem to want to demand, and he says, from other people. And I'm like, look, when an event happens and you're just going to lap up the media narrative and not even question it, like right in the proximity of the event happening, I have a problem with that. I'm sorry. That my integrity compels me to say, look, when that Virginia thing happened, I got to look into it. I'm a curious person. Aren't you listeners curious enough to say, hey, is this real or not? How many Charlie Hebdos are you going to fall for out here? How many Sandy Hooks? How many Boston bombings? How many Charlestons is it going to take for these people? And some of these people are on the Rents radio network. Jeff Rents is like, you know, one of the top guys in alternative media. He has Fetzer and these guys on. They deconstruct these false flags. Why aren't other people, you know, at least looking at events and saying, this looks questionable? At least you could say, hey, it looks questionable, rather than shutting down people that are questioning it. Like somehow you have some sort of a defect because you're questioning the narrative that comes out of this this Pentagon, CIA, Jewish mafia controlled system that's giving us basically crafted synthetic news stories. Okay, and it's leading us down like this process of what they call processing. And I was wanting to get to that tonight too, out of the book by Michael Hoffman, Secret Societies and Psychological Warfare. This is what is being waged on us, folks. Psychological warfare. Okay, so to not even want to question an event and just say it doesn't matter whether it was real or not, that sends a red flag up in my psyche, in my person. All right. Let's see here. So basically this guy was telling me not to criticize others because they weren't ready, because these others on other programs, and a lot of, you know, I call into a lot of other programs, and I don't have this chip on my shoulder. It's like, oh, I got my own show, so I'm too good to call into other people's programs. I think that's a real problem in alternative talk. And so now we're going to segue and move on to my flame-throwing section, my bomb-dropping section. So, Mr. Producer, if you could play clip two. This is Louis Farrakhan. You there, Mr. Producer?
Living our lives for truth, this is the greatest act of service that we could do. This is why Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Jesus of 2,000 years ago, my dear and beloved brothers and sisters, was not the Messiah. He was 2,000 years too soon to establish the kingdom of God and end the civilization of the Jews. This is why members of the Jewish community hate Jesus and have written terrible things of him. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Okay, so basically, and I've heard this in numerous clips from quote-unquote Minister Louis Farrakhan, where he denies that Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah, okay? Now, we know that he's in this cult, the Nation of Islam, okay? So, Mr. Producer, I want you to play the third clip.
Mr. Alex Jones on television recently with Piers Morgan of CNN. And he said, before we allow you to take our guns from us, 1776 will play out again.
Alex Jones here with a message to Louis Farrakhan and the followers of the Nation of Islam. I've been on air for 20 years, and I have followed your work intently. And I'll be honest with you. I admire a lot of the aspects of what your movement promotes and the courage that you've had and what you've done. But you are somewhat of an enigma. There's the reports about the connection to the Nation of Islam and what happened to Malcolm X. I don't believe the establishment, but I also don't believe other groups. I don't know what the truth is there. There's also some of the aggressive militaristic rhetoric. And I have concerns about that. I'm going to speak to that here in just a moment.
There, Mr. Producer. So basically, Alex Jones, he's been on the air 20 years. He has followed the Nation of Islam intently. You heard it out of his mouth. He has followed them intently. Well, guess what? So have I, Alex Jones. Let me tell you some things about the Nation of Islam's theology, Alex Jones, since you followed them so intently. Do you know that the Nation of Islam believes that white people, the white race, is a race of devils, and that we, white people, were created by an evil black scientist named Yaqub? Okay? Y-A-C or Y-A-K-U-B. So, Alex, to you, to the Nation of Islam's theology, you idiot, you are a devil, and your race was created by an evil black scientist named Yaqub. Now, there's, according to Nation of Islam theology, there's like 24 black elders that control the universe, okay? It's gazillions of years old. And basically, this world that we're living in right now is 6,000 years has been given to the devil whites to rule over it. And now it's all coming to an end. And the blacks are basically going to genocide all the whites. And this is their theology. And so there's all this stuff that you admire about the stinking cult, the Nation of Islam, Alex Jones, you moron. Now, most of you might not know this, but the Nation of Islam, this cult leader, Farrakhan, he sold the Nation of Islam a few years back to the cult of Scientology. Look it up. These punks behind microphones. You know, Alex Jones has 50 people working for him. 50 people. He's probably got 15, 20 people that research. You mean to tell me that you're going to come on your program in front of millions of white people and you're going to say how great and how you admire the Nation of Islam's stuff? But, you know, he throws them under the bus a bit. But then you're still going to give this untruth. So this guy, Farrakhan, he sold the Nation of Islam to the L. Ron Hubbard cult of Scientology a few years back. Look it up, listeners. Just do a web search and start reading. They've got pictures of L. Ron Hubbard in the mosques of the cult of the Nation of Islam. There's all these black guys. You can find them on YouTube. They're all pissed. They're like, you got a picture of this white devil up on the freaking wall in the mosque. So all the little cult members, that a lot of them are leaving the cult because Farrakhan sold the damn thing into the Scientology cult, which was L. Ron Hubbard, Jack Parsons, head of the OTO, Ordo Templi Orientis on the West Coast, Jet Propulsion Lab guy at NASA. They're all Crowley disciples. They're all buddy-buddy with Crowley. Bunch of Satanist weirdos. Do some research into Scientology, folks. There's plenty of documentaries on YouTube and all this other. This is one big satanic Luciferian cult. It is probably controlled by American intelligence. I mean, this is disgusting. All right, so Mr. Producer, play the third clip. I mean, the last part there with Jones.
He talked about us a few times years ago. We invited him on. They said the minister's aware of the show. He'll keep in consideration. Okay, whatever. I would like Louis Farrakhan to come on and do a polite interview. I had David Duke on. It was polite, but then he said he was being censored and all the rest of this. Not getting enough time when he got more time than I did. I agree with a lot more with Louis Farrakhan than I do with David Duke, and I'd like to have Louis Farrakhan on the broadcast or one of his representatives.
Did you hear that from the fat man? I agree a lot more with Louis Farrakhan than I do with David Duke. You can find it on Friday's show, people. So this white devil, according to the Nation of Islam, this fat white devil down there in Austin, Texas, according to the theology of the Nation of Islam, he's a fat white devil. And he was created by an evil black scientist that came off the plantation, and he created the white race. He agrees a lot more with Farrakhan than he does with Dr. Duke, who thrashed him on the debate, by the way. He's still licking his wounds over it. And so he agrees a lot more with Louis Farrakhan than he does with Dr. David Duke about, you know, the problems in the world. Is anybody, you know, what are you thinking about that, listeners? How you like that, huh? And so you can put that in your pipe and smoke it. Alex Jones is the head of Disinfo Wars, okay? The guy that covers for the Jewish mob hitting us on 9/11. It's the same guy now that says he agrees a lot more with what Louis Farrakhan says than what David Duke says. And Louis Farrakhan is calling for basically open warfare on whites and cops. Louis Farrakhan, the only reason he's still alive is because he made his bones by being in on the hit on Malcolm X. And, you know, I've gotten into it with these black followers, these cult members of Farrakhan on Twitter. And I always jab them with the Scientology thing. I was like, yeah, how you like your guy selling out the cult to Scientology? And they're, oh, no, he didn't. No. See, these people are buffoons. They're absolute buffoons out here. They don't even research their own people that they put up on pedestals. See, I research my people. This is the problem we have out here. We're coming up on break, but you know, I'm going to open up the phones, and so this is what we're facing, folks. We've got the biggest guy in alternative media. He believes more with, and he's a white devil, and he aligns more with what Farrakhan says than what Duke says. We'll see you on the other side. Incendiary Radio. Hope you like it, man. It's something different. You gotta at least say that. It's different than 90% of the crap you hear out here, so I hope you guys like it. Got a bunch of calls stacking up. Let's take John in Alberta. John, hi.
Hey, Robert. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love the pace of your show, man. Like, you're the only show that I can't surf on, you know, like I can't be looking at other headlines or reading anything. However, you had mentioned Morano.
Yeah.
Leaving Spain in the 14th century, I believe, or the 1400s or whatever. Like, you have to, and I just want to run this by you, if okay. You've done this research at all. That the Morano, like, they became the Medici in Vienna.
You know, here, check this out. Italy, where my mom's family's from Naples, Napoli. That's the Rothschild headquarters in Italy. Yeah. And so Italy suffered the same kind of crypto, let's just say, principles going on as Spain. And I've got stuff, man. I've got documents from, if you would see what I've got surrounding me right now, you'd be like, this guy's mentally ill. But basically, yeah, Italy, it suffers from the same phenomenon is Spain, which is all these basically, because look at Spaniards and Italians, and look at Jews. They're about the closest looking people between themselves. And so, you know, these Jewish thugs, they're like, yeah, let's go into Italy and Spain because we look kind of like these people. We can get right in there and get to the top and take these societies right by the jugular. And that's what they did.
Yep, and then this is what I want to run by you.
Yeah.
And that is they got close to Italy. They went into Italy, and then they went into the Vatican with, like, crypto-Jewish priests and stuff like that. And
Check this out. I've got this book.
Hold on. Let me just
throw this out there. I got this book open. I'm going to try to get to it. It'll really hit home of what you're talking about, but go ahead.
Yeah, and they got a hold of the head of the Vatican. And by 1820, they ran the huge Vatican banking and gold hoard.
Yep, they sure do.
And from that, they have, like, been subsurface. Like, you don't hear about Jews in the Vatican.
No.
You hear about Jews in the, international banking. But
right.
You don't hear about Jews in the Vatican. And that is, as you know, is one of the centers of power.
Exactly. And why do you think, look at this. Look at why do you think the Vatican has basically turned a 180 over the last couple hundred years and is now, it went from A all the way to Z when it concerns the Jewish question? That's because of Jewish penetration.
Exactly.
Yep.
They're trying to unify them.
Exactly. Well, yeah, I mean, look at the Good Friday prayer alone, and I've been doing this research. Look at the Good Friday prayer before Vatican II and then after Vatican II. And that's a perfect indicator of what has happened. They were talking about the faithless and perfidious Jews before, praying for them on Good Friday. And now they gutted the entire Good Friday prayer. This is just a perfect example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I tell you, Robert, this thing is more pervasive than what most people think. Like, they can see the machination in international finance and commerce, but they don't know that it is in every other center of power.
That's true. That is,
you know, the Vatican, London, Washington, and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, you know, check out that Agenda 21 and the Vatican's 2030 now. Its connection to all the Agenda 21, the sustainability and all that crap.
Yes, exactly. But that is, the Vatican is a center of power and control. And what most people don't realize, it's controlled by the Jews, too.
Exactly. And see, this is the problem, because you got people on the other side of the house, these Protestants that always want to say the Vatican is insidious in its own right, where it's like, well, dude, it's a lot more complicated than that. Thanks for
They're
the call,
Christians,
John.
Baby.
Thank you, man.
Yeah.
Hope you liking it, folks. Mark in Oregon. Greetings, Mark.
Hey, greetings, Robert.
Hi.
Always great to speak with you, Robert. Show is really excellent, and striving for the truth is as it always is, and I really appreciate that. You've got that certain high energy that carries the audience with you. Think you've got, you know, all the makings of Art Bell popularity.
Hey, man, that's a big deal. Thank you.
The fountain of truth, a fountain of knowledge. So, Robert, not the main topic I called about, but very briefly, I would like to speak in AJ or Alex Jones' behalf.
Okay.
I've been listening to Alex. I don't think I've missed a show, even one day, ever since 9/11. Just about.
Yeah, I haven't been listening that long, but I listen probably as intently as you do. And I think, look, and I know you want to speak in his behalf, and I don't want to completely throw him under the bus, but when he does things like that, I got to do it. It's something within me that it forces me to do it, because he's really went off the rails concerning 9/11 with this Philip Zelikow 28-page crap that he keeps pumping.
Oh, the Arab connection.
Yeah, the Saudi connection of the fake 9/11 report, this 28 redacted pages. I just don't like where he's going, so maybe a guy like me, if somebody throws him that stuff, it can get him back on track.
Yeah. I think, just my opinion, and I do see it more this way, is that, Robert, the benefit of the doubt comes into this, that there is room to interpret things in another way, which basically doesn't show any ill intent or deception or, you know, having made any deals under the table and such like that, because that's serious stuff. I mean,
Listen, Mark, I would agree with you in normal circumstances, but seeing the high IQ and intellect of this guy, and I know he's probably way smarter than I am, I'm going on spirit here, but I'm saying, no, man, something happened here, and that guy got an offer he can't refuse or something.
Well, he has a passion that really attracts people, and you know that. So it's no wonder now that he's even graduating into global satellite broadcasting the video signal also. So, he has millions of listeners every day, and it's been that way for a good many years. So there's something there. Now, if he has an ill intention, if he's a master gatekeeper, okay, that is really, to me, the final deduction from all of the naysaying, basically, of him by others.
Well, what did you think of what did you think of the clips I just played?
Louis Farrakhan, as far as that goes, I think in the present time, Robert, knowing you as I do as a researcher and as an excellent communicator, not trying to aggrandize you in any way, sir, just a matter of fact, right? No brag, just fact. John Wayne, True Grit, I think.
Yeah.
So it's just really a matter of educating Alex, and you'd surely be the one to do that.
Well, guess what? A Friday I was on hold for about 40 minutes, and I was like, I got some information on the Nation of Islam that you guys want to hear. And the next thing you know, little guy Gucciardi down there, he decided to segue into a different topic. I was about to bust the whole Scientology thing and hit it right out of the park on him and really just gut.
I know you're persistent, brother, and that you will get in whenever you may try. Okay, so, you know, it's always something to look forward to, right? Just put it up on the shelf of things to do.
All right.
But I know how it is. But, Robert, the main reason I did call in, and I'll try just, you know, briefly mention it, basically, if I can. Jesus was directly descended from the line of David. David was definitely, we'll say, a Jew, okay, with just a meaning out of the 12 tribes of Israel.
You're talking about through his mother, right?
Through his mother, exactly.
Yeah. Well, see, he had no earthly father. If you really believe the biblical story, there was a supernatural, basically, event that happened to where Jesus was placed in his mother's womb, where she had not known man. She was a virgin.
That's right. So I would stake my very life on the veracity of the Holy Scripture, because God doesn't make mistakes, and that's inspired writing through his prophets.
Hey, let me look at this book, and if you got a pen, write it down. The Star That Astonished the World. And this came out about 20-something years ago. It tracks back through the astronomical charts of, and this guy, I can't remember his name right now, but basically they tracked his birth date through the Star of Bethlehem and other things in the astronomical charts to guess what they say his birth date is.
September 30th, would that be close?
September 11th.
Okay, well,
September 11th.
I've heard that before. That's very interesting. Yeah, I'm thinking
he's
about
a Virgo.
That.
See, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth the son. That was a dualistic prophecy, both Mary being a virgin, not knowing man, but he would also be born under that astronomical, sure. Biblical astro-theological sign of the virgin as well.
Yeah, when you go to, for your emailer there, on the veracity of the Bible, okay, on a prophetic level, and that's where it can really be proven very well, because there are general prophecies of national politics and wars, and they come true to the letter, and mm-hmm. then there are general or specific prophecies of the Messiah to come.
Right, over 300.
I understand, 365 by the secular non-Jewish count, 385 by the rabbinical account. Okay, so 20 more counted by the rabbis in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
Right down to the 30 pieces of silver, which happens to occur in the very last part of the last short book of the Bible, Zechariah. Right down to the 30 pieces of silver that Jesus was portrayed with. You go into the Psalms of David and you see the crucifixion laid out graphically, and there wasn't even crucifixion existing at the time that was
written. That's right. That's right. Yeah.
It goes on and on. We're talking 365 to 385.
Yeah, you know what's fascinating? They talked about his bones would not be broken, and it was a common tactic to break the legs of a crucifixion victim in the Roman system, but that didn't happen. Yeah, there's all kinds of interesting stuff about him dividing his garments, casting lots for his garments, tons of them.
Yeah. And they pass by and shoot out their lower lip and scorn him as he's hanging there on the cross. The whole thing is described right in those that specific area of David's psalm. So we just not only have proof of a supernatural birth and the Messiah predicted, a virgin shall conceive, is it Isaiah perhaps, it is irrefutable. It is illogical and irrational to not look at the evidence and dismiss the evidence as somehow having some evil intent or being a total falsehood. One puts one, as you mentioned, Robert, relative to the email or anyone else, if they want to keep this mindset, because it's not a heart set, it's a mindset, it's a self-glorified, false glorification of oneself and being a total fool, because it's total and it's the ultimate fool, because you can lose your soul for eternity if you don't take advantage with what God offered. That means one's soul, and it's just never-ending unhappiness at the very least.
Well, so, hey, Mark,
everything's on the line there, but God bless you, brother. Sure do appreciate you.
Yeah, bless you too, man. Keep listening. Let's take Frank in North Carolina. What's up, Frank?
I was hoping last week and this week to get to find out what you've been digging into on this latest shooting with this the reporter and the cameraman. So I was kind of
Gosh, Frank, it's falling apart. I mean, I wish you could get online and get on YouTube and a few other places. Gosh,
I watched a video this past week. I mean, it just gave me a little glimpse into it, and it got me really curious.
Frank, there's like a freaking 100 of them out there. It's just all you got to do, listeners. Just type in these four words: Virginia reporter shooting hoax, and you'll find enough videos to watch till morning, and you'll just be like, this is absolutely disgusting that these people, it's just that pathetic, Frank. It's that third grade, but see, society's third grade. These people, these zombies out here, it's insane.
It's an insult to our intelligence.
It is.
and it's just, it's amazing. I hear a lot of people, even people on this network, saying, well, what difference does it make if it's real or fake? And I'm like, really? And they'll actually attack you if you bring it up.
Look at that email. I'm getting email from people because I call into other networks, and I was like, look, man, the narrative looks real bad here. And I'll say, I'll go through the here's and whys, and then people want to just castigate me like I'm some sort of freak. I'm like, Why? Because my eyes are open, and because I don't believe this controlled media, that every major incident that you guys jettison to the top of the heap, that I look at with a slanted eye and like, hey, wait a minute here. What do you guys got up your sleeve now? With Charlie Hebdo, 9/11, Oklahoma City, Boston, Sandy Hook. I mean, how many of these damn operations you want these knuckleheads out here to fall for? Before people like me just said, hey, wait a minute, man, something doesn't smell right.
And, you know, the other thing you got to keep in mind is they're going to keep doing it. Maybe next time it'll be in your city or in your neighborhood or somewhere.
Frank,
maybe you'll be affected
personally. Frank, they're doing them almost daily now. This is how bad it is. The acceleration. See, I talk about this and I try to get this through people's heads. The acceleration is here. We're at the pedals to the metal now. Something's up. This month we're in now, Frank, this is crux. This is what we've all been waiting for, but this is what they've all been waiting for as well.
This latest shooting, though, you know, they said, well, why would they have a, you know, black guy killing a white, you know, two white people, whatever. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Man,
well,
I mean,
yeah.
They're coming at it from all angles. And I mean, the guy, the father of the reporter...
oh, God. You know how many videos are out there on this guy dancing around at his daughter's funeral and all kinds of weird trash? I mean, my gosh, if listeners, if you're not in YouTube, you're not really just getting it, because these people are just deconstructing the videos that are released by mainstream media to try to bamboozle you. And so then they turn their own medium against them. That's what the glory of these kids and these people out here on YouTube. They'll be like, okay, this is the footage that you gave me. Let me deconstruct it. And they'll just blow it out of the water immediately.
And, you know, I mean, I saw a lot of differences in this latest shooting from the other ones. It looks to me like they're targeting different audiences. It's like Fox News, CNN caters their programming to different audiences. This shooting seemed to have been targeting different people, like people in the media that may have gotten kind of lax and said, well, the hell with all this. We're not going to take their guns away. I'm getting tired of this.
Hey, do you know that Allison, hey, listen, Frank, do you know that was Allison Parker's last day at work? That job, that supposedly happened to her. I mean, this is how stupid this is. I mean,
I ask people though, I'm like, did you know that her father was a Broadway actor, starred in, you know, the lead roles? Did you know he was a politician? Did you know he's an activist, anti-gun activist? That nobody knows any of this. But
do you know he's a? Do you know he's a head? Hey, do you know he's a? Hey, Frank, do you know he's a headhunter for the mega banks?
They don't know that either. They don't know, and they're saying, well, what difference does it make?
It's pathetic. We're living in the Matrix, Frank, and we've all, you know, a few of us have taken that red pill, and the rest of these people are basically like Morpheus says, and I hate to use this movie analogy because it's been played out to the end, but he's like, look, these people walking around the Matrix, they're basically your enemy because of their... they're being asleep at the wheel. And so, you know, people in your own family, people in your own circles can actually turn out to be your enemy because they're so asleep at the wheel that they'll lash out at you as being the crazy one when you're actually the dude that's out here living in reality, and all of them are, you know, just zombied out.
Yeah, and as far as, you know, Alex Jones goes, I mean, I didn't start listening to him until like
Frank, what'd you think of that stuff I played? He agrees more with Farrakhan than he does with Duke. What do you think about that,
well,
Frank?
You know, he's a triangulator. That's what I call him. He's triangulating. Alex Jones is all about the money. You can't say that you're the tip of the spear. You're the cutting edge of truth, which he's been saying all 10 years. That I didn't hear that show. Friday, because I'll be honest with you, less and less, I just can't tolerate him.
I know, but what,
so
hey,
full
I,
of crap.
Hey, Frank, I played the clips. What do you
think? I heard it. I mean, the guy's nuts, man. He's got dollar signs. He's got dollar signs for pupils, okay? Alex Jones sold out a long time ago. I don't know what his deal is. He's an egomaniac. He wants to be a big shot. He's a traitor. He's a gatekeeper. I don't know if he's controlled or what, but...
He really wants to be accepted by the Levin, Savage, Limbaugh. Hannity, Joseph Farah, WorldNet Daily crowd. And it's just,
that's,
dude.
That's something else that really pisses me off is I started noticing that years ago. It's a total double standard for who he brings on with welcome, open arms. He will bring the most radical, quote-unquote, hateful Zionist Jews on, and he will treat them as though they're long-lost relatives. But anybody comes on and starts criticizing or pointing, you know, to Israeli involvement or anything, or dual say, oh, boy, you're not welcome here.
Hey,
you know,
Frank, check this out. Frank, you saw the way he went after Duke. Cyclops, Grand Wizard, all that crap, right? All the NLP weapons he tried to use against Duke. But then he has guys like Professor Griff, the public enemy information guy, and Immortal Technique. These two are like totally anti-white, slit whitey's throat types, damn near, and he treats them like they're like celebs.
It is a total double standard, because you know why? Because it fits the two world order agenda.
Exactly.
Anybody that says it's not the Jews is a liar. And I'll be honest with you, man, I don't care about this religious crap, the Bible crap. I'm one of those guys, because I'm going to tell you something, man. I'm 49 years old. Most Christians, these Bible readers, go to their grave not having any clue what the freak just happened in their life. Christians are the biggest cowards. I'm going to tell you something. Just like the Democratic Party, the freaking Republican Party, CNN, Fox News, it's all Jewish. All religion is Jewish. Catholic religion is Jewish. The evangelical, it's all controlled.
Hey, Frank,
Jews.
Frank, before you...
Hold on.
Frank, before you thrash all religious people, go on to the SPLC website, everybody, Southern Poverty Law Center, and you look who the biggest anti-Semitic hate group out there is, okay? You go through the groups, and guess what? It's the radical, traditional Catholics. Go on SPLC. Look it up. Radical Traditional Catholics is the largest anti-Semitic hate group in the United States, according to the SPLC. That's where I am.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You know, another thing is I don't take everything at face value. Like when somebody, I'm trying to come up with a good example of this, but you know, I see these things thrown around in the media all the time, and I'm like, you know what? It always takes me back to the childhood stories. Please don't throw me into the briar patch. I mean, like with Obama, they say, oh, Obama, he's the worst enemy that Israel has. Blah blah blah. Maybe this is all contrived. Maybe Obama and this freaking this deal is exactly what the Jews really want. But
hey, Frank, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the Jewish DNC chairwoman, is for the deal now. She's the one that's been saying it's bad for Jews to intermarry with other Jews. She's now for the deal. There's something else going on here. We'll see you guys on the other side. We'll see you on the other side, folks. Thanks for the call, Frank.
Natural causes.
Work into it, and guess what? I don't even get to a third of the stuff I've looked up. It's crazy. Let's take Chris in Las Vegas. Hey, Chris.
A couple of things for you.
All right.
First and foremost, anytime that you be live on something, believe it has a lie in the middle of it. And so, therefore, if something else, somebody told you that you have converted to your own belief system, as opposed to doing your own due diligent study and investigation to conclude for yourself through reproving through spiritual confirmation that what you've come to conclude to know is true. Speaking of, You were talking about the ESL, or whatever it's called, the letter count, word count, character count.
Equidistant letter sequencing, yes.
Yes. I heard an intellectual guy that is very smart. You know, he knows his stuff, but he's on John Stadtmiller's show and has a very tribe-oriented name and very predilected towards the Judaic belief system, if you will, or at least Hebrews, and seems very studied and believes deeply in what he's doing. However, in his professations of how he comes to his conclusional findings of all these encrypted, supposedly encoded references to current day events in the Tu-Ra, or Tu-Ra'ah, the sun god Ra, that would be, which we're told is the Torah. You've got to look at it. It may not be exactly as they're proposing it to be, but there's so much subjective interpretive theories that he uses to come to his conclusions to predicate his supposed interpretations on, that it couldn't be any more than mere hearsay evidence.
Well, here's the thing about here. Let me explain ELS codes to you real quick. When people try to predict future events, they're getting off into some very, let's just say, shaky ground.
Yes, when you quirky and murky.
Yeah, that's kind of like the cutting between when you're looking at the codes. If you're looking at things in the past, that's a whole nother thing. You can find all kinds of things in there, and mathematically and statistically, it's freaky when you get into it, Chris. And that's the point I'm making. Now, if you're trying to use these things to predict future events, you're getting off into an area where even a lot of the ELS code researchers are saying, hey, wait a minute, you can be led down a lot of rabbit trails here, rabbi trails here. You know what I mean?
Yes, indeed. Also, your note and your previous caller that was citing the corrected date of the birth of the Christ, perhaps, as September the 11th,
yeah.
We have to remember that the calendar was altered by Grigor.
Hey, hold on, Chris. Hey, Chris, hold on. We got the top of the hour. We'll be right back, and I'll let you finish. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay, well, what I was going to say is that September is actually the seventh month, so that would make the birthday of the Christ 7-11. And we know about 7-11 in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And last little bit I had for you was the Southern Poverty Leadership Center, or Liar Center, it was more accurately termed, should be declared a domestic terrorist because they are certainly committing terrorist acts against Americans, trying to twist the words and labels and redefine all the words that we love dearly, like patriotism, sovereignty, and other words that are normally very highly held in America, and twist them into some perverse version with demonic attributes, and what the Zionists have always done from the very beginning in mirroring and twisting word terms, which is what attorneys do.
Yeah, you know what, I view the SPLC, Chris, as basically the protection racket of the Jewish mafia. And basically that's what they are. Just like the National Lawyers Guild, part of the Communist Party of USA, but basically the SPLC, anybody that hooks on and finally figures out that basically the Jewish mob is really running the show, the SPLC is there to really kind of take the heat off of them and really go after them through, like, lawsuits and all the rest of this crap.
Well, absolutely. Well, thank you very much for putting the sunshine on the problem here in America, and let's keep the heat on the demon seed.
Well, right on, Chris. I mean, you know, I do what I can, and this third hour is kind of I don't know what's up with it. Maybe the network wasn't ready for it or something. That's why all this weirdness happened. But thanks for the call, man.
You know, it's the hack attack from the Zionist hack attack squad. Rita Katz in the group.
Site intelligence, huh?
Yes, site intel. Blessings to you, brother.
You too, buddy. See you.
Bye bye.
All right, let's see if we can bring up Lawrence in Canada.
Hey, Robert, how you doing?
Hi, Lawrence. Good, man.
Yeah.
How are you?
Good, good. Yeah, a little glitch, but I think it's all good. Okay, what do you want to talk about, Alex Jones, the Virginia shooting, or Christianity?
Let's take it all. Go ahead. Let's start with Alex. What'd you think of the clips?
Well, is this guy just making stuff up for,
well,
to make his show sound interesting?
Hey, the point the point I brought up is like this. It's like, first you start off saying he intently has followed the Nation of Islam for 20 years while he's been on the air. But obviously, intently following doesn't necessarily mean you've read into their theology. Because things about them, while they basically say that your entire species as being a white person is created by some evil black scientist and your race is devilish, how could you admire something like that?
You know, I think he's just got to the point where he's making stuff up for effect, and he's losing it. You know, I watched him every day for 3 years, literally, and now he's just like the other caller was saying, I can't even watch him for more than about a minute. But look, if we want to find out more about Alex Jones, how about we try to contact some of his ex-staff, like David Ortiz, Aaron Dykes, and Melissa Melton?
Hey, they've all got these hush agreements where they can't talk. I mean, I've heard Popeye over at Federal Jack, he's tried to kind of probe Aaron and Melissa, who are married now, Aaron Dykes and Melissa Melton. And basically, they can't talk, man. They're like lawyered. They're lawyered so tight where they really can't even talk about the operation. I've tried to reach out to. I've tried to reach out to Aaron and Melissa to bring them on the show. They won't even answer an email.
Yeah, and apparently,
and I wasn't really even going to go after to talk about the operation down there. I was just going to talk to them about regular stuff, but they didn't even want to bite. So there's something weird down there with the whole ex-Jones employees gang.
Yeah, there's something going on now. Did you ever look into the Bill Hicks Alex Jones connection?
Yes, I've looked into that quite extensively, and I'm on the fence. That's a hard one for me to swallow. That's a hard one.
It's a stretch, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a stretch. Okay, last thing about the Virginia shooting. I didn't follow it that much, except it's just another obvious false flag. But I did see something about the woman that they were interviewing said, oh, I didn't notice the gunman come up because the bright light of the camera was blinding me.
There was another camera, in the corner that was actually recording. And so they had another camera on a tripod set up kind of back in the corner. That's what's so weird. Okay, so the gunman comes up with his own camera, and he's doing first person.
Yep.
The whole thing stinks. It was a psyop, and basically there was a camera set up in the corner. That's why the main cameraman who was sitting there, he's out there photographing the damn yard of the place they were at, and he's not even recording the two ladies talking because there was another camera back there in the corner, which is just, the whole thing stinks. Go to YouTube and type in Virginia reporter shooting hoax and do some research. That's all I can say.
Yeah, and why would this woman that's being interviewed, that interview had to be going on in the daylight. So why would there be a bright light on the camera blinding her so she couldn't see the gunman walk up?
It's
nonsense,
look,
right?
This Andy Parker guy, the whole thing is just so disgusting. Once you dig into it, it's like it's so overwhelming, it's hard to even talk about. There's so much weird crap concerning just this latest. It's just like it's really Jade Helm tied in stuff, and people just and then the incendiary comments of Farrakhan and the new Black Panthers, and Jones is all part of it. There's something very fishy here.
Yeah, but I think we got to be careful not to get too pissed off at folks that can't see it, because you know all of these false flags are sloppy. The guys
they
like
are, they are.
Many others, many can see it. So I think the Judaic mindset is like they know our psychology pretty good. Okay, so what they do is they make them. My theory is they make them sloppy on purpose, so it'll frustrate the hell out of us that can see it. And we can't understand why other people can't, so then they create
exactly.
that kind of a friction between us and people we're trying to wake up. So we got to be careful not to let that.
You nailed it. You nailed it, because I brought this up with Dr. Jim Fetzer. I brought this up with Kyle Hunt and people that have been on my show. I was like, look, they're making these things so retarded. To those of us that are paying attention, we're just like, oh my God, you idiots. This is like a fifth grader put it together. We're all noticing it. But then knucklehead public, who just basically looks at a news story for 10 seconds, goes back into their phone and starts playing a game or whatever they do, or looking at Kim Kardashian's butt or whatever the hell they're doing.
Making it sloppy is part of the psyop.
Exactly. You've hit it. You've hit the magic right there. Making it so pathetic that those of us that really do our due diligence can see it. And then we're looking at everybody else like, what the hell's the matter with you? And then the rest of the zombies out here are like, what the hell's the matter with you? And it gets us
brother.
You've hit the nail on the head.
Hey, brother. Well, you have a good night. I'll continue listening. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. All right, let's take Dave in Nevada. What's up, Dave? What's up?
Hey, what's up, Robert? I just had a question about the Nation of Islam.
Yeah, go ahead. I've been looking into them for a long. I've been looking at them for a long time. They're an interesting bunch.
One statement that Farrakhan makes. I don't understand why he brought up Alex Jones. In that particular interview with Pierce. Morgan, I guess.
Yeah.
I
think it's to basically, if you really want me to break down why he brought up Jones and that whole thing, it's because I think he wants to stir blacks into militant action against basically whites and the what he considers the white government.
Right.
And so basically he used Jones in a technique basically to say, if you try to take our firearm, 1776 will commence again. And so Farrakhan was basically NLPing his own followers, basically saying their own version of 1776 has to commence. And this is what I think that he's doing. I think he's the manager of the black side of this synthetic Pentagon, like, DIA-level race psyop. And so I think he's the manager of that side of the house. I think he's a Fed from top to bottom. I think he's completely compromised. Like I said, he sold the thing to the Scientology cult, which... if you really dig into Scientology, they're connected at the highest levels with this evil, insidious Fed force. And so it's real creepy stuff, man, when you dig into it.
Yeah, so what do you think Alex is? Is he the white version of
Farrakhan? Yes, I think I'm starting to really lean towards this, Dave, that Alex has become the manager, along with WorldNet Daily, and a little bit of the Blaze and Breitbart, as the white side of the PSYOP, and Fox News, of course.
It's looking like that slowly, but it's a little crazy to think about, but I can kind of see it Otherwise, why would Alex want to interview Farrakhan to begin with?
Well, he starts with Duke, and then he's trying to get Farrakhan now. You see what I'm saying? He's trying to be this linchpin in the race war.
Yeah.
And so he's the alt-media guy that's going to be like your handler, if you will, of the white patriotards who still think that basically the government is controlled by the British Empire, which it is, but it's basically a proxy. You know, like I covered all that stuff in the beginning of the program, how they've married into the British aristocracy, and so the British Empire is really by proxy the Judaic Empire. And so I really think that they want to get whites, blacks, and then Hispanics is another real wild card in this thing. They want to turn Hispanics against whites, but I think a lot of Hispanics are smart and say, hey, wait a minute, the people that come into our restaurants are all white. The people that I mean, every Mexican restaurant I ever eat at, it's all white people. And so I mean, I don't think a lot of them are that stupid. They get that white people are like decent people that come in and they tip, they buy margaritas, they like to eat fajitas. I mean, that's what I see when I go to a Mexican restaurant. I love Mexican food. And so I don't know if a lot of Mexicans are willing to slit their own throat when it comes to collapsing Whitey's system up here. And I think they're the real battleground.
Yeah, I think that would be a difficult. That aspect would be difficult to pull.
Well, I mean, look, a lot of Mexicans are still, they're a lot more loyal to the church than a lot of other people are. A lot of them are still, if you know, these guys got tattoos of the Virgin Mary that cover their entire torso. I mean, a lot of these guys are not, you know, you got gang members in this, but there's still a lot of hardcore Catholic people in the Mexican sector. And so,
right.
A lot of people don't even want to talk about that. They just want to demonize Mexicans like somehow they're all just complete invaders, this, and this. And I get that. They are an invasive force into America. But as somebody that, you know, is a Christian, I know that, you know, hey, some of these people are brothers and sisters. And so, you know, it's a weird thing. They've broken the law to come here, the illegal ones. But there's a whole wing of legal Mexican American citizens that are like, hey, wait a minute, we can't take on that many more immigrants, or you're going to collapse this system. And then therefore, it's going to be bad for the system south of the border. And people have to be smart about this, you know.
It's a confusing mess right now, but if Alex is
really
in on
this.
Hold on,
we got a break, Dave. Hold on, I'll bring you back after the break.
All right.
Folks, we're back. Cindy Radio. We got Dave in Nevada. Go ahead and finish up, Dave. You're talking about Jones.
If Jones is more than just a kind of a neutral, or if he's more than just kind of a gatekeeper, and he's actually fomenting something, like stirring the pot into something that's going to be a conflict. That's pretty dangerous stuff, and I don't know if he's actually an agent to that point. But if he is, I don't know. I can kind of see it happening.
Yeah, I don't want to think that. I want to think that, you know, he's just trying to manage this large organization where he's got a lot of employees that all got to get paid on a weekly basis or whatever. You know, I hear a lot of comments that he wants to basically stop this thing at the pass before it really gets started. And I hope he's, you know, I hope he's not being disingenuous here. I don't want to see a race war. Unfortunately, I'm a realist as well. And I'm like, look, you've got a lot of people that are really dumbed down, that are cranked up right now, especially at the hood rat street level out here, where those of us that live in the urban communities, we see the militarization of the mindset of black people against whites. And unfortunately, I see it every single day. And especially, let's just say, I see it every day. And so, unfortunately, those nefarious elements, those elements that have insidious and destructive, let's just say, designs are taking hold more than those that are have altruistic or that want to see, you know, this thing squashed. And so, but it talks about this, man. This is one of the prophecies in the Bible: nation shall rise against nation. That means ethnos, basically ethnicity is going to rise against ethnicity in these end times. And I think we are right here in these end times. And so this is not surprising to me. I've been watching it happen for a good 20 years because I've been paying attention for about that long. So what are you seeing?
Yeah, that's another thing. It's leading into what I wanted to say. Is that there are a lot of people that are commenting on Revelations and eschatology.
Yeah.
And in a way, I think it's a mistake.
Well, look, Dave, how is it a mistake when you see Fukushima happening?
No. I'm saying it's, in a way, it's a mistake because I know that the end times are here, but people are trying to make very specific, like, down to the nitty-gritty predictions as the Antichrist.
Yeah, I understand where I understand where you're coming from, and that's people are a lot of people are very scientific about their eschatological studies, and for me, I don't like to do that. I was on Farron's program last night, and when I was on the way home from work, and I was like, there, you know how much kooky crap I heard. There's a guy that called in and said, "So there's only 144,000 people in the body of Christ. This is how screwed up people are." I'm like, dude, that the 12,000 from the 12 tribes is just the people that in the end times are going to become evangelists, basically, according to Revelation. That's not the entire body of Christ. You'd have to, I mean, you might as well just chuck your faith and throw it in the trash can if you only think 144,000 people make up the body of Christ. I mean,
that's what I'm saying is that the church fathers throughout history, they warned against trying to get too deep into the Revelations because they knew it was the most difficult, mysterious book to crack. Even now, with all the signs, which are convincing, but people are going off the deep end and they're trying to be scholars.
Oh my God. I mean, Dave, I follow a lot of these people, and you know I do, and they're like, "Oh, the sixth seal has just been cracked and the sixth vial." Right. And it's like, dude, shut up. I mean, the stuff is funny, but at the same time, it's sad because it really gets people messed up.
And it detracts from what they should really be doing is focusing on getting right with God, because
there you go.
You could die tonight.
Right. Hey, thanks, Dave. I appreciate it. Hope to hear from you again. All right, folks, we're back. Last half hour of the program. Now, you know, what fascinates me is I never get to even like the half of the crap that I have pulled up on the, you know, to go through. And let me go through this real quick, and I'll take the next caller. Now, this is from henrymackow.com, M-A-K-O-W, henrymackow.com. Does the NWO want our wealth? This is from September 5th. Basically, this is out of the Talmud. The possessions of the Goyim are like an ownerless desert, and everybody, meaning Jewish people, who seizes it has acquired it. I wanted to get to this because this is kind of freaky. And so In 1869, Jacob Bronfman, a Jewish convert to Christianity, published a book in Russian about the Jewish communal organization, the Kahal, K-A-H-A-L, which suggests that, unknown to many Jews and non-Jews, organized Jewry indeed was conspiring against the Gentile population. Like most books of its kind, it's no longer available. And luckily, in November 1881, Z.A. Rogozin published a thorough account of it in The Century Magazine, Volume 23, Issue 1, under the title Russian Jews and Gentiles from a Russian Point of View. And so basically, they bring up this whole thing about this Kahal, this Jewish communal organization. But listen to this. He has acquired Kazaka, K-H-A-Z-A-K-A, i.e., right of ownership over the house of the Gentile. So remember this word Kazaka. That's a word of theirs. Now I got another article pulled up. This is on the RenegadeTribune.com. The new city of Astana, Kazakhstan. You get it? And this is in Kazakhstan. Is located on the Ishim River in the north portion of Kazakhstan. Though administered separately from the region, is the city with special status. And it's basically, go on to this, the new city of Astana, Kazakhstan. And it's really freaky, this connection that I just made kind of tonight about, you know, when you do this research, folks, you make these connections. If you're somebody with half a brain and you're like, my gosh, the Ukraine and then Kazakhstan and all this is all part of this little greater Israel plan, and it's really crazy. So let's take Rick in Arizona real quick. I got a bunch of callers already stacked up again. So Rick, go ahead.
Yeah, Rob.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I almost think this last shooting, it was made to be pegged as a fake. I mean, how much work would it have been to stick a blood pack underneath her blouse and nobody would have known the difference.
What, the Virginia reporting deal?
Yeah.
I didn't even see any blood.
Exactly, but how difficult if you wanted to make a fake shooting.
Well,
why couldn't they just stick a blood pack underneath there? Then it would have ended up. I think they made the video to be pegged as a fake. I think they want to see how fast this type of stuff travels around the internet.
Yeah, that's part of Jade Helm, the AI system, Jade and all this stuff. That's all AI. And yeah, they're probably tracking us to see how fast we are at being able to sniff out these weird hoaxes. And you know, that's a whole other thing that I haven't really contemplated and tossed it around in my mind. But I'm glad that you just put that in my mind, because now I'm gonna be thinking about that. But yeah, part of Jade Helm itself is basically psychological operations to see, basically to. What they call when you do what's the word? But anyway, when you're actuary out how fast people are doing this, and so yeah, I think you're onto something there.
And you know, they gotta have decoys. They gotta bring the enemy out of the woodwork.
Hey Rick, I used to be a firearms instructor at my last job, where I used to teach people how to shoot that never even picked up a weapon, half of these people. And I'll tell you something, I've shot a lot of pistols, and that looked like about a 40 cal to me.
Yeah, well, the first bullet would have knocked her down to the ground.
Yeah,
so,
if you plug a woman that size with a 40 at that range, she's not turning and running. She's done. It's over.
No, I mean, her body parts are going to go flying. But, I mean, so it's. I think there's a lot more going on with this stuff than just, fake shootings. I mean, they only need to get 75% of the people to believe it, and that's no problem.
Yeah. Well, Rick, you got to realize, in Cancun, right when that shooting happened, Rick, the UN, Office of Disarmament, all the goons were meeting down there. This is about disarmament. We have to keep this in the front of our brains. They want to disarm this country. This is it. This is the Solzhenitsyn moment. This is Soviet Russia all over again. That what we're facing. This is the Red Terror. We're about to face it. We have to gird our loins, reach down, and admit it. Quit fighting it, and just admit that we're about to face another Red Terror. But it's going to be in the U.S.
Yeah. Well, keep up your good work.
Thank you, Rick. Hey, we see we got Renee in North Carolina. It's awful late, Renee. How are you?
Hey, first time I've stayed up to listen to your show, and I agree with y'all on a lot of things, okay? It's very small areas, okay? I guess you could call it more of a strategy or whatever. One, I agree with that earlier caller. I think Alex is the white race baiter side. I absolutely do. The thing is, he will, projection. He accuses everybody else of what he does. The thing is, he talks about Sharpton and Jackson being race baiters. Look, if I was Sharpton and Jackson, I'd be listening to Alex every day with a notepad and a pencil on my knee, taking notes, okay?
Well, hey, Renee, how do you think
skills?
Renee, how do you think I popped those clips off tonight? Because I listened, because I know this is like the biggest guy in our circles, and so I listen quite a bit, and I saw this stuff, and when I hear red flags, I write down what time I hear them, and then later on, I'll go through that show, and I'll plot them out for my show, and I'll do that from time to time.
Yeah, and it is. It's getting harder and harder to listen to him, because he is there to divert and divide. Y'all talk about how he doesn't blame the Jews. Another group, take note, he never blames the lawyers and the Bar Association. Let's prioritize who is a problem for us. Really, he and Watson sometimes have one, two, or three articles a day on feminists. Now, come on, really, do you really think women, in the grand scheme of things, on who has screwed up this country? Now, would you rank the women or the Bar Association on top? Okay, so
Renee.
System.
A lot of those women that are part of that whole movement have been outed as CIA and the rest of it, and so
hacks me off too. I'm so glad you mentioned that. The thing is, exactly that we know that because he and Watson have some real issues with women. I mean, they need like help. Okay, the thing is, absolutely. So if you're going to be mad at the quote feminists, we know they were infiltrated by the CIA a long time ago. So whose fault is it really? It's not the women.
Yeah,
and the thing is,
you
wonder why women don't want to come over and join this movement. Hello, you think they want to hear that kind of poop that all the time and feel like they're welcome and invited? Give me a break.
Well, okay, Renee, and then they put out women like Sarah Palin. I mean, it's just like...
I know. Yeah. Now I'm going to bring up my little issue that I do have a problem with, okay? Now, hear me out on this. This is the reason I think sometimes if we just do it kind of takes us away from personal responsibility, okay?
Hey,
because
Renee, did you hear that article that I read at the beginning of the show with Brandon Martinez? He really nailed it on that.
Well, you know what? I think I fell asleep. I didn't catch the first hour. I was trying to wait up for your show, and I fell asleep, and then I woke up, okay?
But this is the deal,
okay? This is where we have to take some responsibility. Now, hear me out. Don't jump on me when I say this, because I'm being a little bit sarcastic here. In other words, you know, you almost have to think, maybe the Jews have a point. Maybe we are stupid, okay? And I'll tell you why. The original 13 colonies, the populations of this country were 3 million. Of that, 25,000 were Catholics. Okay, 3,000 were Jews from the figures I've picked up, and the rest were WASP. Okay, so you got 3 million, and only you got 3,000 Jews for 3 million. That's about 1,000 to 1. Okay, now explain to me how we, you know, predominantly the WASP, and boy, people get hacked at me for this, okay, because nobody, yeah, that's like the taboo groups. You can't blame nothing on them. The thing is, explain to me how 3,000 Jews, that's like about 1,000-to-1 odds, were able to take over this country without a hell of a lot of complicity. I mean, when I look at numbers like that, you've been in war and stuff like that, okay, think of yourself in a battle, Robert, and you know that you've got 1,000 soldiers for every one on the other side, and you lose. Now, wouldn't you feel like, hey, we got to do some examination here. Maybe we did something wrong. How could this happen?
Yeah, well, you know, that's the thing when you get into this, the Protestant, the ethos itself, they got suckered into basically giving their, you know, their everything over to basically this Jewish mafia. And so, yeah, they've got a lot to answer for.
I'm glad you heard me out on that, because some people have started to talk about this and they just react so fast and they start losing it and just like, you know, and they get defensive and start attacking me and stuff. But now that I've kind of explained it, do you kind of understand my point, Robert?
Yeah, yeah. Well, look at the Catholic Church, and it took longer for it to happen to Catholicism, but the real nail in the coffin of Catholicism happened in the 60s with the Vatican II, where basically they turned a 180 on their entire construct over the past, you know, even if you want to argue 1700 years, and they capitulated to this whole global mafia. And so the Protestants, so like there's these guys of Vatican assassins like Eric John Phelps over there, they all say that how great Cromwell was and everything else, and it's like, dude, you invited this force into your country where they basically, the British Empire was just a proxy empire, this mafia, and to where basically they were sending all their boys and girls all over around this world to take India, look at a good portion of Africa was all under the British Empire. And basically, you sacrificed your sons and daughters for this empire of the Talmudic mafia. And that's what it was. And then they married into your entire royal family and your entire aristocracy bloodline. And so now the British Empire is really indistinguishable from the Jewish Empire. It's one big, happy, WASP Jew family.
Well, exactly. And who helped set up Israel in the first place?
There you go, the British.
Why do we send our military all over the world or whatever? You know, basically, it looks like we're trying to, you know, fight off the Arabs so Israel can have more territory. There's more than meets the eye on this.
There is. And I got 3 callers left, Renee. But here, listen to this. The thing is, nobody wants to talk about greater Israel either. This expansionist notion that this country that sits where it is now, they have the right to expand all the way from the Nile out to the Euphrates and basically crush all the surrounding countries until they capitulate to the greater Israel vision, while they still, the Sunni, they're building this fake caliphate with Saudi Arabia and Turkey and the rest of it, to where basically these people are all under the same banking dynasty. So you're going to have a fake Sunni caliphate and then the greater Israel. That's the real plan, Renee.
Yeah, and like you say, so, you know, I just, you know, I feel like he when he calls other people race baiters, like I say, and I can only listen so long, it's really getting out of hand. It's other people, I'm like, are you kidding me? Listen to yourself. And you know, I almost hate to give him this compliment. He is a skilled, I think he's had some training, okay?
Oh, yeah, yeah, I say that too.
He's a skilled propagandist. On this, he knows what he's doing. It's kind of scary because he sends out mixed messages. Now I think it's getting out that people are suspicious of him. So all of a sudden, he's trying to act like he's Gandhi or something, trying to bring people together.
There you go. Thanks for the call, Renee. Thanks.
Uh-huh.
All right, bye. Let's take Fred in Iowa. Hi, Fred.
Morning. How are you doing, Robert?
Good.
Renee is a tough act to follow. I call her the little tiger.
Well, that's the first time she's called my program. She doesn't stay up late, so that's good that she stayed up and listened.
Well, I hope this doesn't hurt her reputation, but she is one of my main female heroines. Now, if you recall, I said last weekend that two men or a group of men or men and women are civil, and men and women are a group are of goodwill, that truly, truly are searching for the truth. There can be debate and a disagreement, but if everybody's objective is truth, we can come to a consensus. And if that motivation of truth is to help mankind and not hurt mankind, in other words, force or killing, then it ceases to be goodwill. Now, you know, I get bamboozled sometimes, quite often. To speak of Mark in Oregon, you know, Mark sounds like he's a man of goodwill, and I want to believe that. I really do, and I like what he says. And also the tiger, Renee. But let me put this before you, if I may, and I think it'll take me maybe 1.5 or 2 minutes. I want to make mention of an author, the name of the book, which he's written many, and a short synopsis about the author. May I do that?
Well, we're coming up on a break, friend, and I got a bunch of callers left, so I
can do it very fast.
Go ahead.
Avril, A-V-R-O, Manhattan.
Oh, yeah.
1914 to 1990.
Yeah, I've got a couple of his books. The Vatican Billy.
The Holocaust. The sensational account of the most horrifying religious massacre of the 20th century.
Avril, Manhattan. I got a bunch of his books. Yeah. But thanks, Fred. Let's check this out, listeners. And I know we got 4 people on the line, and we got probably about 3 minutes. So let's do rapid fire. I'm sorry. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're listening. I'm glad you're calling in. But let's hit some rapid fire. Mark in Illinois. What's up, Mark? You there? Mark in Philly. What's up, Mark? You there? Who you got, Mr. Producer?
Hello?
Oh, hi, Mark. Rapid fire. Come on, bring it up. Bring it on.
Okay. I agree with what Renee says. The deal is that, and by the way, Alex Jones to me is a propagandist. He is not a true patriot. He's not even a good actor. But that doesn't.
But you, hey, listen to this. I've noticed he's really devolved in the last number of, let's say, about a year, where it's really gotten bad, to where it's like he's in a devolution instead of an evolution. Go ahead.
Exactly. So the thing is, what we're dealing with here is we're dealing with people who've been conditioned multi-generationally to not think, to not really think with a deeper sense of their being. And I'm talking about the spiritual sense, and I'm not into religion, okay? But the thing is, that's how they bamboozle a lot of people. So Renee's right to a degree that the challenge is our neighbors. The challenge is the culture that we're in, our community. You know, if we don't help to wake them up, they'll never get it, and then they'll go against us. Because, by the way, the devilish characters that are at work here, if it is the Jewish people, who I believe it is, they are the ultimate cowards, and they get everybody else to do their fighting for them and going to war, and then they sit back and laugh their asses off.
And they can expand that empire. Yeah, that's what it is. And nobody wants to confront that, this greater Israel plan, which we have to keep this in our mind. 2 words, greater Israel. Go ahead.
Right. So we need to be clear about who the real enemy really is, and remind people. And by the way, there's even broadcasters on this network that are supposed to be really informed, and they still think it's the Muslims. This or whatever. I said, look, it's deeper than that. It's deeper than that. I'll let it go with that. Renee, I really like Renee. I like what you think, Robert.
She's a good caller.
Keep it up. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, let's take Mike in South Carolina. Mike.
Hey, dude, really, you just stirring up all night long, aren't you?
I'm trying. Go ahead, brother.
This is for those, especially Renee. America started its downfall in 1913 with the Federal Reserve. That was the start of most of its downfall. It had been planned before that.
Yeah.
The military was taken over. The first military that was taken over, Robert, you don't know this, was the Air Force back in 1971. It was the first.